The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by Miller Lite, University of Phoenix, and Walgreens. Now from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome into the eighth version of the Bears Coaches Show already, and the second highest scoring game in the NFL, finishing up yesterday in Washington. The Redskins holding off the Bears 45-41, and the Bears are off into their bye week now with some injury concerns, as we'll detail here in a moment, in advance of their next assignment, November 4th, a Monday night matchup against the Green Bay Packers up at Lambeau Field. Welcome into the Bears Coaches Show, and we are joined tonight by not only the head coach, Mark Trestman, but all your guys are here, the coordinators here tonight. So we've got Joe DeCamillis, the special teams coordinator and assistant head coach. We've got Mel Tucker, the Bears defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator and offensive line coach, Aaron Cromer. Thanks for joining us, fellas. We literally got a round table. We got a round table discussion tonight about the football team. Thanks for joining us. But we'll start off. I know Bears fans all day have been texting and tweeting and the water cooler talk, wanting to know how Jay Cutler and Lance Briggs are. Give us the update. I know you met the media earlier this afternoon, Mark. So what's the prognosis for those two guys? Your leaders on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, we've lost some good men for a while, and we're going to have to pick it up with the guys that remained. Jay has a groin injury. He'll be out a minimum of 4 weeks, and then we'll look at him week to week. He's optimistic. I just texted with him, and he's optimistic that it might be sooner, but the doctors say 4 weeks, so we'll lock into that at the present time and hope for the best. Lance will be 6 weeks. He's got a left shoulder injury and a slight fracture. It'll be 6 weeks at a minimum, and then we'll see where he is from there.
In the Jay scenario, how do you stop a guy who wants to come back as soon as possible with an injury like that?
Well, he's going to do the right thing. He's going to listen to the doctors and trainers and do everything he can on a daily basis. He's already hooked up to machines to try to get him to speed up the process, and he'll continue to do that day in and day out. I know he wants to get back as soon as possible. He's put so much into this season, into preparation, on and off the field, in the locker room, and leading our football team. I know he wants to get back as soon as possible, and we'll try to hold down the fort until he gets here. Josh will try to do that. He's got a good group of men around him, and in a locker room full of guys who want to compete hard. So we're going to do our best, and we're going to do everything we can to get this done.
And Josh is Josh McCown. He's been around the block, so he's an 11-year NFL player, and he knows the situation he's in. We'll talk in detail about that as well, and what the Bears plan on doing in terms of who calls the defense, who fits into the Lance's spot, but the impact, Aaron and Mel, on those two guys. How do you characterize that? How's the best way to characterize that? And Aaron, you've been around a long time too, so you've seen these things happen. You don't like them to happen, but you've seen them many times.
Well, when you lose your offensive signal caller, you know somebody has to step up, and the rest of the guys have to play better. They're gonna have to get with Josh, and Josh has done a good job as well as Jay all offseason of getting the group together and understanding and learning the new offense. So, you know, it's exciting to see that what Josh can do, and he did a good job in the first game, and everybody on the sideline thought he was going to bring us back to a victory last week.
That's really the whole key, and he has this infectious way about him. If you hang around up here and you see him in the locker room, even the little things. I remember back at training camp, and Jordan Palmer's coming in too, right?
That's correct.
That's a done deal, so he'll be back up, you know, helping him and in that last preseason stretch there, you know, offering him the keys to his car if he wanted to have it for the weekend. I mean, those little things may not seem like a big deal on a football team to a fan, but in the locker room and in the building, fellas, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah, Josh has a personality that trends our entire locker room. He's kind of the go-to guy around the locker room. Guys need advice. Guys need some help on something. Josh is there for them. But he's also a very good quarterback who spends a lot of time in preparation and the hard work and prepares every day as if he's going to have to play. And that showed up yesterday, and that's a good thing.
Mel, I've been saying Lance is playing Pro Bowl football, and he keeps setting new lines of scrimmage with the tackles for loss, and that's a bummer. That's a bummer right now for Lance.
Well, you know, he's a tremendous football player. He's even a better person. He's just a special guy, and he means so much to this football team. And and we'll be waiting for him when he gets back. It is a loss for us, and obviously, you know, everyone knows that. And this next man up for us defensively, we'll have guys, you know, step in to certain roles, and the expectation will be high, and we'll find a way to get it done. And Lance will be with us. You know, he won't be playing, but he'll be on the practice field with us, and he'll be in the meetings, and he'll be coaching guys up, and together we'll rally, and we'll find a way to get it done.
On the TV broadcast yesterday, and I glanced at it in the booth when the game was on the line there in the last drive of the game, and there's a shot of Lance's face and Charles on the sideline. Just, you know, they're dying to be out there to help, and just that image is going to stick with me for a while. It was one of quite, you know, very serious and really wanting to be out there.
Yeah, those guys are intense competitors. They're very unselfish guys, both of them. They care tremendously about their teammates, about their coaches, about this football team, about this city, and they want to win in the worst way, and it absolutely kills them when they can't be out there. And so there's no doubt about it where their heart is, and that's what you love about those guys. They're the leaders on our football team. They're leaders in the community, and they're very, very special guys, and it's a privilege to coach those guys.
Yeah, and they've been durable over their career, too, so this is a rare occurrence. And Joe D, and Mark likes to use this term a lot, but the trickle-down, the special teams with injuries is always significant. So here again, right, you gotta figure out who's next for you.
No question. It's always that case. It's been that case since the league was adopted. So you just go ahead and roll with it, and our guys we have such a strong locker room that the veterans help out with those kids too. I mean, anytime there's a young guy that goes in, like Jerry Franklin last week, he had a lot of people pulling for him. A lot of people were trying to help out with him, and it's been good so far. So hopefully we can keep that up.
Because it's the toughest position to be in, because you can't do anything live, to get these guys ready to play special teams. It's all technique, fundamentals, and doing drills.
That's true. But they've been there for preseason, and we're not going out there with a guy that's never played before. So we'll be in good shape, and we got to, just like Aaron said, we have to rely on our veterans too. You know, Blake and Weems really have to help those kids out, and they've done that. So I know it'll continue.
All right, we've got a lot to discuss. We'll talk about each phase of the football team, and the Bears so far through first seven games from each of these coaches' perspectives so far as the Bears hit the bye week.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman, all three coordinators, and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
And he's got a big escort of blockers, sideline to 50. He gets the block. He's on the sideline. One more to go. Costanzo got him. He's to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Devin Hester. Devin catches Dion. Anytime catches prime time. 19th return touchdown, tying an NFL record. And he does it here in Washington, 81 yards. Bears are an extra point away from tying the game.
That takes a lot of work right there to catch up to Devin Hester, but I always lose my voice, Joe, because of Devin. It happened Super Bowl Sunday in 2006 on the opening kickoff, obviously. But he challenges your man to call those big plays, and you want to get him right. But that was fun. Joe DeCamillis here. The Bears assistant head coach and special teams coordinator with head coach Mark Trestman, defensive coordinator Mel Tucker, and offensive line coach, offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer. Tell us about the play.
I hope you lose your voice a lot more. I can tell you that much. He's been aggressive all year, and he's done a good job all year. It just happened to be that we got a ball that was returnable. I thought our guys did an excellent job of working the techniques that they were taught, doing things the right way. And then Devin gets it started with a great straight arm on 84. Weems really did a great job of getting him started also by blocking 84. So
Niles Paul's good.
Oh, yeah, he's a good player. He's a real good player. We played him in Dallas quite a bit. So he was somebody that we definitely had our eye out for, and the guys did a good job on him on that play. But it was just good to see Devin, get the thing done in the end zone, because he's been close this year. You know, the Minnesota game, he was close several times. So it was good to see him get it the record, and hopefully we can break the record. That'd be the goal.
And what a moment that'll be, because he's got plenty of records already, and you guys have all watched him play. What I got out of it, fellas, when I'm at the end of that, the entire stadium, Redskin or Bear fan, they were on their feet. They were all on their feet, and there was a buzz. And that's the beauty of a return specialist like him of note. Yeah, there are guys that return kicks for touchdowns every week, but nobody like him. Nobody's done it that way. And he gets them in bunches, so maybe this is the next time. I don't recall. Have you guys been burned by Devin when you weren't Bears?
I've been burned.
I think everybody has.
Yeah, well, I tell you, what a buzz. And, you know, from a sideline perspective, did you take the moment to get a feel for what that did for the game right then and there? It's 17 tie at that point. Did you feel a little an energy boost because of Devin's play?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we said it from the beginning. I mean, that's why, you know, we've decided and made the decision to have Devin do this exclusively, because he's a guy that every time he touches the ball, you're on the edge of your seat, and great things can happen. And, you know, Joe and his guys did a great job of giving him a highway to run and let Devin do the rest. So it was very good for our football team. And usually when you get those kind of plays, you win. And that was the disappointing part. We didn't finish today with the win and really have a chance to put that play on a pedestal.
And he's only done it, Joe, as you know, in a fraction of the time it took Deion to return all those touchdowns. I mean, just an incredible amount of touches in comparison to what some of these guys from Brian Mitchell, all these great returners in the NFL.
What's amazing is he wasn't always on kickoff return either. I mean, mm-hmm. It would be something to see what his numbers would be if he was there continually. Because you think about Johnny Knox and Daniel Manning and, you know, the guys that were there with him. I mean,
plus he's had a few called back.
No question.
So
unfortunately, that happens to all of us. So
yeah,
I'm happy for him. But, you know, like Coach said, the thing that was disappointing is usually get one of those miscellaneous touchdowns and it leads to a win, and it didn't happen. So we got to do everything we can to try to get another one if we need it during a game like we did last time.
Hester's return is the play of the week, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. At 6:46 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Here with the coordinators and head coach Mark Trestman on the Bears Coaches Show. As you guys take a look at the game from yesterday, we'll start with Mel on the good, the bad, and the ugly, so to speak, on what happened defensively.
Well, the good, the guys played extremely hard. We had moments where we were good in the running game. I think we had 8 tackles for loss. You know, we started fast. We got a takeaway, set up a couple scores in a backed up situation with a 3-and-out. And so, you know, those were some positives. On the flip side of the coin, just a lack of execution in areas in terms of, the read zone. We're not able to take the preparation from the practice field to the game, and that was disappointing. Obviously, giving up big plays in the passing game will always put you behind 8-ball, and then not able to get off the field on third down consistently, which forces us to play more plays than we need to play. And so, it was definitely a mixed bag, and overall more negative than positive, but all correctable things that we can learn from and move forward from.
And Aaron, from your perspective offensively.
Well, when you recap this game, you'd say you'd like to start it faster. We had a couple drives early where we couldn't move the ball. We failed on third down. And as the game went on, though, we started to pick it up. And when Josh got in and the running game got going better than it did in the beginning of the game, we were able to move the football. We had a combination of runs and passes that got us in the end zone 4 times. So it was good to get in. Defense set us up a couple times to get some scores, and we had some good drives. We'd like to get that happening earlier in games. We're still working on that to get that going.
And part of the 8 minute of possession time early was, though, you know, you had the Devin punt return, so that takes a possession, and a short field on another one. That adds to it as well. So that's part of the deal. We'll continue our conversation with the coordinators and head coach Mark Trestman.
Receiver to the right, snap is back. McCown gives a look left. Now throws the middle to Jeffrey. Makes the grab of the 25. Bouncing off a hit. Stiff arm to the 15. Brought down to the 9. Alshon Jeffrey after the catch. 35 yards, Josh Wilson the tackle. The Bears are in the red zone, threatening to go ahead on the Skins here on the 4.
And that's exactly what happened. It set up a Martellus Bennett touchdown throw, and the Bears did grab the lead on the Redskins before falling in Washington as they head into the bye week. Welcome back into the Bears Coaches Show with the coordinators and head coach Mark Trestman. here at the Chicago Bears Network radio studios at Hallis Hall with our engineer, Paul Zerang, who's our game day broadcast engineer, but helping us out with all these microphones because I wouldn't be able to handle all the dials with our producer, Greg Miller, here. So thanks for helping us out. Another 100-yard game for Alshon. And, fellas, jump in, all of you, if you can, because from different perspectives, and Mel from the defensive side of the ball, and Joe, you've coached all these young guys and receivers on special teams. What I'm enjoying watching with Alshon is, okay, yeah, you got to grab the ball first, but in the open field, when he's running away from defenders with the stiff arm like a running back, he's got such length. It's just, I know Brandon can do that as well, but maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like he's got longer arms than Brandon, and it looks pretty when he does it, and he's physical. Is that maybe the biggest development you guys have seen over the course of this season is his ability run after the catch to really dish out some punishment too?
When you talk about Alshon Jeffries, you're talking about a guy that got drafted high, but he totally changed his body when he got to the National Football League. He decided to get in shape, eat right, do the right things. And when you watch him in practice every single day, he does the right thing. He's got the right footwork. He's working hard. He's focused on the task at hand. So it doesn't surprise you when he gets in the game and makes plays. Yesterday was evident a couple times he got hit square after he caught the ball, second after he caught the ball and bounced off of a guy. And he's a physical presence because he's made himself into that. And so, you know, we feel like he can continue to do that throughout the year, and it's exciting to watch. We hand him the ball. We throw him the ball. And he's been a dominant force for us.
You know, on those end arounds, you think, okay, everybody sees it on tape now, and maybe that's what you're thinking as a football fan. Oh, but he keeps making plays. He keeps getting yards. It's not like he's getting dropped for 3-yard losses on those.
Yeah, and he'll be the first to tell you that guys like Tony Fiamat and Brandon Marshall and the guys in the perimeter are doing a heck of a job of giving him a chance and the tackles setting the edges and so forth. So it's an 11-man proposition, but Aaron's exactly right. What our fans and what the NFL is seeing is a guy who is doing all those same things in practice and is as hard a working guy as anybody. And we got a lot of really hard working guys, but there's nobody who works harder than Alshon Jeffrey.
All right, so how do you stop this guy? You see him at practice, so your guys are getting some really good work against big receivers.
Yeah, we have. Excellent receivers on this team. Alshon, the one thing that sticks out about him to me is that I don't think I've ever seen him take a play off in practice. I mean, he's 100%, you know, every snap, you know, every rep that he takes, play side, backside, in the run game as well. He gets after you in terms of blocking, and then in the pass game. Now, obviously, he's hard to cover. He's got a large catch radius. He's a fierce competitor. He feels like the ball that's in the air is his ball, and he's going to come down with it. And his run after the catch, I mean, we see it week in and week out. He's just a tremendous athlete, excellent worker, and obviously he's getting what he deserves, and our team is reaping the benefits.
Joe, you got anything special you want to draw up for a special teams play with Alshon?
Yeah, I've been already trying to get him as a returner with Coach.
Right. Know, I mean, I bet you got guys all over the roster. Hey, Coach, how about this? Does that ever happen?
No.
Come on, not much.
Not much.
It happens.
Joe knows when to ask the right questions.
Right.
He's been around too long.
That's exactly right.
Alshon's our player of the game, brought to you by Tempur-Pedic, as we visit with the coordinators and head coach, Mark Trespin. Mark, you mentioned earlier today and yesterday after the game about backbone building. And I love that statement because you can visualize the building blocks of a football team by that statement alone. So you say there's not any moral victories, obviously, in football, but I would argue that there are certainly types of performances that define a football team. And whether you win or lose, that definition starts to take shape. Is yesterday one of them?
Yeah, yesterday was one of many. I mean, we've had most of our games have been those types of games, whether we've won or lost. It's forced our team to play an entire 60 minutes. And, you know, we don't know where this road is going, but we can utilize what we've done up to this point to help us get to where we want to go. And, you know, that's what we're trying to get to. And yesterday was a day just like for many teams in the National Football League who have the same vision that we have and have the same goals that we have wound up in the same place after 60 minutes. But for most of them, if not all of them, for most of them anyways, they're still in a position to reap the benefits of their efforts. And that's what we've got to utilize games like this for. We didn't get the W. That was the most important thing, and that's why we play the game. But at the end of the day, it can help us get to where we want to go, and we've got to try to manufacture that as we move forward.
All right, 1/2 hour down, another 1/2 hour to go with head coach Mark Trestman and the coordinators, Joe DeCamillis, Mel Tucker, and Aaron Cromer.
The shotgun again. They run it to Matt Forte up the middle, makes a cut left, and he's away. 30, 20, Matt Forte, end zone touchdown. What an open field cut by Matt Forte. On a block provided by Brandon Marshall, he goes 50 for the touchdown.
Three touchdown game for Matt Forte in yesterday's loss in Washington. First Bear running back to do that since Rashawn Salaam back in the late 90s. And Matt gets the 50-yarder on his way to a 91-yard day. Welcome back into the Coach's Show with Mark Trestman and his coordinators. Aaron, those runs have become patented Matt Forte. When he gets to that second level, something about him, he's able to make people break ankles and go. And he had to have help, obviously, on the perimeter. But if you could just get him a time or two a game out there, boom, good things are going to happen.
Yeah, no question. He's made some big runs this year. He's had one of those in most of the games that we've played. And, you know, those things only happen, like you said, with Brandon Marshall blocking and Alshon Jeffries blocking in the perimeter. And there's a lot to be said for receivers that are so good at catching passes and at the same time are willing to block. You don't see that everywhere in the league, but we have a set of guys that are unselfish and willing to put the effort into blocking those downfield defensive backs. And so that's exciting. So, you know, they did a good job on a fair amount of runs yesterday and were pretty productive.
You know, Mark, you could demand that you have receivers that, you know, want to block, have to block, but it has to come from them too, though, right?
Well, you know, they look back and go, Matt Forte's blocking on passes and the line's blocking on passes, so they've got a duty that on that particular play that they got to do their job, and it doesn't always have to be a pass. You know, it's going to be a run, and I think they take a lot of pride in it. They're physical guys. They understand, you know, what this means to that play when they're in the perimeter to do their blocking. And so I think an understanding of what is going on in the big picture. We got smart football players, and then just the want to do it. Just like you said, you got to have the heart to block and the want to block. And as Aaron said, we're fortunate. We've got guys here that get it and are doing a great job with that.
Joe, yesterday, the onside kick, did you get a better understanding of why they called offsides? And is it to your satisfaction the day after?
It was a tough play, obviously, for everybody in here. It could have changed the momentum. You know, the guys did a good job of executing it as far as the blocks that were required. And, you know, they did a good job of recovering the ball, obviously. It's a tough rule that's going to be officiated a little bit differently than a normal kickoff. So if it's close, you know, they have a chance of calling it back, which, you know, it was a tough play. But I think it was a good call. Coach had a good feeling about it. And, you know, hopefully next time we'll execute it.
All right. We're butting up on another check of traffic here and weather together on the 8th. So we'll step away at the moment. A couple of more segments to go with the coordinators and head coach Mark Trestman. We'll talk about some significant things that we'll look at to the second half of the season here with these guys and also look ahead at some positions on what needs to be done here in the second half of the season as it approaches, starting with the Green Bay Packers on Monday night, November 4th at Lambeau Field. Today's Bears Coaches Show is sponsored by the Illinois Pork Producers Association.
The Bears Coaches Show with Mark Trestman, Mel Tucker, Joe DeCamillis, Aaron Cromer, and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
He's the best linebacker in the league, if you ask me, by far. And just him being out there, his playmaking ability, just everything about him we're going to miss. But like I said, like he would say, someone else has to step up. And, you know, we got to continue to play. We got a lot of games left and, you know, a long season left ahead of us. So.
That was Blake Costanzo earlier today here at Hallis Hall on the loss of 7-time Pro Bowl linebacker Lance Briggs for a 6-week period with a shoulder injury. Here with you until 7 o'clock tonight with head coach Mark Trestman and the coordinators, defensive coordinator Mel Tucker, offensive line coach, and an offensive coordinator Aaron Cromer and special teams coordinator and assistant head coach Joe DeCamillis. And I'll start with you two guys. You heard Blake, you know, talk about what the team feels about Lance. And for those of you just joined the program, you know, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to visit today and decide what you're going to do at the weak side linebacker position or who are going to do the defensive calls. You may not want to reveal all that yet, but that's a conversation you got to have. All right. And so do you feel you have guys that can step into that role on this football team?
Well, you know, there's only one Lance Briggs. And I think everyone knows that. You know, however, we feel great about the guys that we have in the building. We feel great about, you know, our personnel department. Phil Emery's done a great job identifying players and putting this roster together. We feel like guys that are in the building are here for a reason. And that at some point someone thought they were a good football player that could help us win games. And so, you know, Coach Trestman's done a great job from day one, just making sure everyone understands that, you know, everyone's important. Everyone's going to have a role. We're going to create an environment for everyone to be successful and be able to do their jobs. And that was started with the rookies. You know, coming in the door, we treated everyone the same. And in preparation for these moments when guys are going to have to step up and be ready to perform, and we created a great environment for these guys to get better. And so, you know, as the next week or so shakes out, we'll define those roles for these guys and who's going to step in and step up for us, and then we'll go play, and we feel great about it.
I asked you this last week, the timing of just having a conversation with all the rookies last week after practice before last Monday show. You never know, and it's becoming – you know, look at what happened in the league yesterday. Some significant names all over the place, you know. So you just never know when your time's coming to be an impact player on the team.
Yeah, when you're in the building, you got to be ready. You got to prepare each and every week like somebody's in your position is going to sprain an ankle on the first play of the game, and you got to play the next 59 plays, and you got to be ready to go. Everybody's expecting you to know where to line up, what to do, and how to do it. And, you know, our guys need to be reminded about that. And we've got a good group, and they just need to be coached like everybody needs to be coached. And I think Mel said it all. We've got a group of guys that, you know, we brought in here because there were people around that felt they could play, and we're doing everything we can to develop each and every one of them.
Now, Blake had to play some defense yesterday. I don't know. Was he cramping up at some point in the game yesterday? So, you know, that probably makes you crazy, too, in special teams, but you got to do it.
Well, you know, it was a big kickoff at the end,
yeah.
And he didn't want off. He wanted to keep going, so that's the kind of guy he is. And luckily, Robbie hit a touchback on it, so that was helpful, obviously. But, you know, all those guys are, you know, the right kind of guys. I think Coach has done a good job of putting the right kind of guys in there, and obviously Phil has too, so we'll be good.
Hey, tell us about the last return.
As far as our return?
Yeah. What was the thinking there?
Well, we were trying to obviously, you know, there was no timeouts left in the game, and we were trying to get a real positive play. And we knew that the coverage would obviously go to Devin, and it did. He made a great throw back across the field, and I think everybody in here saw the play today. It was real close to having a big effect on the game. It's just a shame that we didn't make one more block, but that's how it is every week.
So, and I haven't seen it. So, can you tell the audience like what happened there at the end of where it could have broken?
Well, I mean, it's you know, again, it's one of those things that it's such a hard play to make. A guy made a nice play and came off a block late, and you know, hopefully the next time we get in that situation, we'll go to the house. But it didn't this time, so you got to give them credit.
How many times you practiced that play?
We practiced a significant number, yeah. A definite significant number. You know, coaches seen it every week, and it came up, and they executed. So, like I say, we don't want to be in that play very often, but when we do, we want to try to get a positive play.
717 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. The Bears recorded a takeaway against the Redskins, so that means you get to enjoy a free Reds Tavern double tomorrow with purchase at your local participating Red Robin restaurant, brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. As the Bears take the week off, as coaches, what are you guys going to do in terms of football? And then I know you have time to just reload as well, but you just keep planning, I guess, is the best thing. Aaron, is that what you do?
Well, it gives you
self-scout.
It gives you an opportunity to do a couple things. One, self-scout and see where you're doing well and what guys do well, especially as a new staff as we are. We're still feeling our way and trying to find out what people do best. So we continue to study each week. This gives us a little more time to compile the entire season and study ourselves and find out where we have to get better. Although we know each week, but when you compile all the games together, it even helps you get a clearer picture. So we'll do that. We'll study what's going on around the NFL. You don't cross all the teams, so you like to look at the other teams. The video is available, and it's a great tool to keep advancing your football.
See what works against certain defenses and things like that, fronts?
Absolutely.
Always. Ideas. Everybody shares in the NFL.
Well, I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's going to be tough and not having Jay out there, but I think Josh came in there and played great, and he gave a lot of confidence to the guys in his locker room. So we're not going to hang our head too low. Of course, Jay is our leader, but Josh is a leader also, and he's played a lot of good football for me. He's been in this game for a long time, so guys have a lot of confidence.
That is Timmy Jennings, the Bears cornerback at 7:23, back on the Bears Coaches Show with Mark Trestman and the coordinators. Final moments before we wrap things up at 7:30 tonight, and I'm sure that's music to your ears to hear a defensive player talking about your new quarterback for the time being with Jay out for a four-week minimum because of his torn groin, talking about Josh McCown. What we did talk about early in the show, if you have a locker room, they're never going to really admit if they don't have confidence in somebody, but when they feel the way they do about Josh, and it's not his first rodeo. He's been here before. He came here in 11. It's significant to hear that.
It is, and Tim's voice speaks loudly, too, in the locker room because everybody has a lot of respect for him. So I think it works both ways. I think, you know, coming from a Tim Jennings and the type of player he is and the team guy he is to talk about Josh in that respect is just another insight into our locker room and our belief that we can make this thing happen.
And we've talked about this before. You've had experience with these situations as a coordinator all your years in football and as a head coach. Backup quarterbacks, they play, and more often than not, they have to play. And sometimes you got to go get guys off the street and play. You can still win, though.
Oh, absolutely. And you don't just win with a quarterback. You win with all 46 on each and every Sunday or Monday night or whatever it is. And it's going to take everybody, but it does each and every week anyway. So as Mel said, if we can get people to do the things we're asking them to do and the guys will hang together, we're going to be in these games if we continue to take care of the football and create turnovers, play smart and disciplined, and continue to give great effort. Good things are going to happen to this football team.
Defensively earlier today, and I forgot the exact term, forgive me, but when you were asked about Lance Briggs, that's a significant thing to overcome on the defensive side of the ball for a lot of reasons.
Well, yes, it is, but there's significant injuries going on throughout the league, and, we don't have time for excuses, and we can't have time to feel sorry for ourselves. We feel bad for Lance, and certainly we don't want to see him lose time, but we don't have time for that. We're going to have a chance here to take a deep breath, to get some rest, our players to get a chance to, reset their vision and their goals for this football team and get ourselves healthy, and then we got to come back in and with the energy that we need to get our football team better for a couple days, take another day off, and then get ready to play the Packers.
All right, let's go around the table here. As you look forward now to this next phase, we'll start with Aaron Kromer, obviously with Josh as the quarterback. What things you really feel need to be improved? I know everybody's going to say consistency, probably, in all phases that goes. Is there anything else that you really feel you really like to see a big jump?
Well, the first thing is, there's a lot of people feeling bad for Jay Cutler right now that he's hurt. But we don't feel bad for ourselves, and no one feels bad for themselves. And we feel good about Josh McCown and the way the football team's going and the way that second half of the football game went offensively with Josh McCown in the game. So we just need to continue to understand the system, we could do a better job in blitz pickup, of course. But we're doing a good job of throwing and catching. We're doing a good job of running the football. We're top in the league in sacks. So we're getting rid of the football. We have our timing is there. We have to do a better job of protecting our quarterback.
And Mel, attacking the quarterback's got to be up there for you on your side. And just touch on the back end play so far.
Well,
and what you're looking for overall.
Well, obviously, we want to make people make teams go the long, hard way. We don't want to give up big plays in the passing game. And, you know, there's a laundry list of things that we need to improve upon. But really what it comes down to is we need to get better each and every day. And when we come back in to work, every meeting, you know, every walk-through rep, every quick-through rep, every full-speed practice rep, every post-practice meeting, it's going to be about attention to detail, getting better, controlling what we can control in preparation for our next football game. And the team that we have to know the best is our own team. And so that's going to be critically important that we spend these next few opportunities before this next game to make sure we know who we are and what we do best and how we need to play in order to put ourselves in a position where we can win football games. And so that's what it's going to be all about for us.
Special teams, you know, let's talk about the kicking game because Robbie's been very good, and Adam Pylish has had two very strong games back-to-back. What else?
Well, I think we just need to be a good support system for both sides of the ball. We've got to try to build on the positive that happened this week and continue to keep that going. That's the biggest key. I think with our guys, there's total buy-in of what they're trying to do. We need to try to be a good support system for both sides of the ball. And I think we'll do that. Both the guys, both the kickers have done a good job for us. Patrick Manley's done a good job, and we're going to be leaning on some of those veterans and try to get as many big plays as we can for both sides of the ball.
Mark, how often do the four of you just get together and talk football?
Probably the first time this year. Yeah, in all seriousness, we make it a point to have coordinator meetings on a regular basis. We catch up with each other, make sure we're, you know, all working together. It's very important that as I said earlier today, we don't go to our separate silos and do our individual thing and not care about the other side. So we spent time together, and then and that resonates through the staff.
All right, that's our traveling music, fellas. We got to go. Thank you so much. Listen to the next Bears All Access Radio Show brought to you by Sports Authority this Thursday at 6 on WSCR, 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. So that's going to wrap us up for head coach Mark Trestman, Joe DeCamillis, Mel Tucker, and Aaron Cromer, along with our engineer Paul Zerang and Greg Miller, our engineer, Steve Grzanich, working the board back in our Chicago studios, and Andy Gersher, our producer. Thank you so much. That'll do it tonight on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Good night, everybody.